This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Mutants. Since the discovery of their existence, they have been regarded with fear, suspicion, often hatred. Across the planet, debate rages. Are mutants the next link in the evolutionary chain? Or simply a new species of humanity fighting for their share of the world? Either way, it is an historical fact. Sharing the world has never been humanity's defining attribute.
Place to Be Nation Pop, welcome to another edition of the Sellers Points Podcast. I am, of course, your host, Russell Sellers, and joining me, as he always does whenever we do these wonderful little shows, is my favorite ginger bear and yours, Mr. Kelly Poole. What's up, Kelly?
Not much. I'm good.
Making it through this, we're recording this on a wonderful Monday night.
Yeah, Mondays are my days off, so I just basically haven't done much of anything today other than housework. And I got reading comic book forums most of the day, so I've some good, some bad. You know how it is when you read comic book forums.
Did your eyes start to bleed?
You know, at some points it did, and then there are others it's like I picked up a lot of really interesting information, you know, and seeing some points of views from maybe not my point of view, but I've been open to what other people are saying about basically what I've read a lot about is just the Marvel situation with their problems with their story, the Secret Empire, people are not happy, and just that kind of, you know, subject matter. You know, seeing what people are saying and what their thoughts are is really what I'm trying to get the gist of.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's, in and amongst all the good and like well thought out insight, I'm also sure that there's been plenty of oh my God, is this person serious moments.
Yeah, there were a few, not as much as, you know, I've this was pretty light. I didn't get a whole lot of those. Just, wow, these people need to be, you know, they need medication. You know, it's just, it sounds like a lot of folks that are just, they're upset and they're tired. You know, that's what I got from a lot of it. And just folks are tired of what they're doing, for doing stuff to their character. And, you know, it's not about diversity. You know, there's no problem with diverse characters. It's this problem that the folks at Marvel just don't know what the fuck they're doing. You know.
Well, on that note, we are going to get into the subject matter of this podcast, which is going to be a look ahead, actually, at a Marvel related property of the Fox X-Men universe. But as of the time of recording this, today is Monday, May 22nd. As we're recording this, we've just found out that Zack Snyder has stepped away from directing Justice League due to a horrible situation in his family. His eldest daughter, Autumn, committed suicide back in March, and they have kept it, of course, very private, very quiet up to now, and had debated on not telling anyone anything about that, but today he and his wife Deborah made the announcement that they were going to be stepping away to deal with things at home, to handle things with their other children, with the family, and that Joss Whedon would actually be stepping in to finish the film in post production and in shooting a few additional scenes that are going to be added to the movie. But from us here at the Sellers Points Podcast, we want to extend, of course, condolences to the Snyder family, to their friends, to everyone that knows them, that knew Autumn, of course, because it's a horrible situation. It's one that is unimaginable for anyone, especially people like me. I don't have kids or anything, but I can't even imagine what it's like to go through something like that. So, all love and support to the Snyder family. And moving on from that, we are being joined by a very special guest making his Place to Be Nation Pop debut on the Sellers Points podcast. Good friend of the show, good friend of mine and Kelly's, who's been on some comic book panels with us in the past. If you've seen our illustrious performances at Fanaticon, you know this guy well. But please welcome him to the Sellers Points podcast, Mr. James Eccles. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, man, doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Enjoying a Monday as much as you possibly can.
Oh, God. This one has been a particularly fun day, as they call it. No, nobody calls it that. Nobody. Except for Kelly, because he's off every Monday. And he gets to sit back and play his roommate's Nintendo Switch while they're probably at work. He's like, well, he's never going to know all these hours I've logged in Zelda. Now poor Blake's going to come home one day and be like, what do you mean all the divine beasts have been freed? I haven't even finished the first one. Yeah. But anyway, folks, what we're talking about today, of course, as we mentioned earlier, is we're going to be talking about some X-Men, specifically the X-Men films, because there's a lot of stuff that's been coming out in the news cycle in the last few weeks. There are three major X-Men films coming up, and of course there are there's one hit X-Men show on television right now, and there's another X-Men TV show coming up called The Gifted. So lots to unpack there, but what we're going to start off doing first is talking about our feelings on the X-Men films in general up to this point. And James, you are the biggest Marvel fan I know, outside of maybe Tim Capel, who is also another friend of the show. Big Marvel guy, of course, a huge X-Men fan. But I wanted to get your take on things, James. Tell me a little bit about what do you think about the X-Men film franchise so far, and is there a particular one that you like more than the others?
I think ever since the beginning, when they started with the first, I guess, actual X-Men movie, I mean, I've enjoyed them. I thought they were good movies, obviously. I think the original first one was a great, great movie. I mean, there's like so many people at the time that the only X-Men maybe they've even really seen was the cartoon back in the 90s, which all praise to the cartoon, man. That thing was awesome. Awesome back in the day. So I was really, really glad that they started doing movies and kind of introducing them more to everybody. I, unlike everybody I know, was not a big fan of the second and third one, though. Those did not do a lot for me back in the day. And go ahead, Russell.
Oh, I was just saying, it's very rare to hear anybody say that they don't like the second one. Third one, yeah, totally. Totally get where you come from. But, man, that's kind of a shocker for me. But continue.
It is, absolutely. I am alone in that opinion. But for some reason, it just did not work out for me. I don't know even what to point it out as, but it just didn't dig for me. Whenever they returned to it, though, with First Class, man, I thought that was a great movie. They moved on from there, and it seems to have gotten better, like, every time to me. Days of Future Past, X-Men Apocalypse, they've all been great. No complaints on any of those, really. And I think they really hit it off with a great cast to pick it up from the original. I mean, to me, there's nobody that could beat Patrick Stewart as Professor X. Like, that is the epitome of awesome. But getting James McAvoy as a young one was also a perfect fit.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, you know, because I remember back in the day, back in the mid-90s, when me and my friends would be sitting around talking about, you know, the possibility of an X-Men film, because back then it was like, you know, every so often you'd hear all these rumblings about, oh, this X-Men film is totally going to be a thing. It's totally going to happen. And of course we were fan casting way back when, and I think one of the few people that we all pretty much agreed on in terms of fan casting was Patrick Stewart had to play Charles Xavier. And
yeah. There's like no way you looked at a comic book with him and didn't see Patrick Stewart.
Oh, you totally did. And that it actually happened was just kind of mind blowing. Like a lot of us, whenever we went to see that first X-Men movie, we might not have been all, you know, thrilled with the black leather looks for everyone, but when you saw Patrick Stewart as Professor Xavier, it was kind of hard not to be excited about that, because it was like, oh my God, our fan casting dream came true. There he is.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm mostly on the same page with you, except I consider the first X-Men film to be a pretty good movie, and it holds up pretty well too. That's something that you can't say for a lot of superhero movies back in the day that were considered good then, but you watch them now and it's not all that great. But
yeah,
that first X-Men movie actually does hold up. It's a fairly entertaining film. It's not like, you know, the most amazing thing that I've ever watched, but if you put that out as an X-Men film today, I think it still, you know, overall gets a pretty strong rating. But for me, though, it's X2. Like, X2 was the one. I know that's mostly a cliched answer now, because that's the one that everybody points to. But it's hard not to, because, I mean, everything from Hugh Jackman's performance to the character development, all the just amazing stuff you see in that film visually, the Nightcrawler opening specifically, which I still think is the best action scene ever shot in an X-Men film, though there have been many great ones since. But that movie is, you know, of course for me, and of course I'm with the majority on, I don't think X-Men The Last Stand is very good. X-Men Origins Wolverine is an atrocity, and the only X-Men film, the only X-Men film that I refused to ever own, because it was just that bad. But I'm with you on First Class, Days of Future Past, and Apocalypse. While I will say that I don't think Apocalypse was the strongest of the series, I did very much enjoy it, and certainly thought it was a better third chapter, if we're separating them as trilogies, than what X-Men The Last Stand was. I look at Apocalypse and I'm like, yeah, that was a better movie than The Last Stand, and certainly better than X-Men Origins. But I got a feeling Kelly may have a different point of view on this. So, Kelly, your take on the X-Men films up to now.
We'll start with the first film. I thought the first film was okay. I mean, it started, it kind of put the fire back into, comic book movies, kind of showing that, you know, they can make money and, you know, they're viable as far as, you know, being able to take them and make movies about them. Casting, I hated. I mean, I don't like. I mean, it's not that I hate the actresses. I just didn't like them in this film. Halle Berry and Franka Jensen both were miscast. Just, I know that they cast both of them because of name recognition. I get that. I understand it. Still doesn't take away from me that they ruined the movie for me, and I literally. You know, I can't watch it anymore. Just because of that, they really took me. I don't know, just took me out of the film. You know, and it's like I said, nothing against the two actresses themselves. They've done their own films that I've enjoyed. This wasn't just this just wasn't a good fit. X2, I enjoyed better. I thought, you know. And then, like you said, Russell, that X2 is kind of like, I think if you, you know, everyone kind of feels that same way to an extent. I mean, not everybody, but, you know, most people to some degree, I guess. I thought Nightcrawler was done well. I thought I think his last name's Cummings.
Yeah,
who did
Alan Cumming.
Cumming. Yeah, I thought he did a fantastic job. X2, I enjoyed. It was a little step up. I almost walked out of X3. The scene where Cyclops gets killed off screen, and yeah. I was so disgusted by it because they're trying to do the Dark Phoenix saga because they set it up at the end of X2 and then just shit all over it with 3. And I mean, everything about 3 just made me angrier and angrier when I was watching the film. I really, going on to, was it Wolverine Origins?
Origins came after that. And the goal was to, of course, set up a separate franchise for the Wolverine character. And X-Men Origins Wolverine pretty much tanked the franchise for a while because, it was after that that they did the whole, like, kind of hard reset and went to First Class.
Yeah, First Class was, I'm not going to talk about Wolverine Origin other than the fact that I, didn't care much for it. I was excited about First Class, but as soon as I got the info about who was going to be in First Class, because I thought, okay, finally they're going to reset this thing and do it right. Beast was the only original member that they even had in the team. There was no Marvel Girl, there was no Iceman, there was no, Angel, no, Cyclops. And I just flipped my shit again. I just literally I threw my hands up, got on my soapbox and started preaching the evils of Marvel and just the fact that they can't, do something. I mean, it's so, to me, I was thinking it was a very, very simple process, but, I got so angry about that film that one of my closest friends, he said, I've seen the film. This is when it had been out for a few weeks. He goes, I've seen it. You need to just go and see it. Just go. And on his suggestion alone, I went and I was entertained and I could see what they were doing, didn't agree with it. Didn't really like it, but I was entertained and felt like, okay, well, this is the way it is. They're not going to do it any different. I'm not, as much as I, get irritated about it, it's not going to change it. So, but I was entertained and I've seen it a couple of times since then. And each time it's good. The Days of Future Past, I thought was pretty good too, overall, Apocalypse, it was fun to watch. And that's the thing is all of these films, they're fun to me, but there's so many things that are missing. And I felt like, okay, we have the Four Horsemen, Archangel and Psylocke literally did nothing. They said all this stuff about Olivia Munn being Psylocke and they just talked about that so much. And she literally had like 6 lines or something, and it just, I'm like, if you're going to do characters, you're going to give them something, don't just, it was like, okay, everyone gets an introduction and then that's it. But overall, I liked the casting of most of the films, past the first, but I really hate the fact that I'm not more excited about these films. And it's just the fact that the X-Men were my, growing up reading the Byrne and Claremont era books, really was my, favorite characters. And I really, had a true passion about them. So, as why I got so upset when they, just didn't, I think if they could go back and follow what the Marvel formula is, you know, and kind of just take things to the basics, you know, they could. I mean, if Marvel got the rights back, I think Marvel could really right the ship on the X franchise. But that's just my two cents on you know, the movies that have been put out so far. And, you know, if they do another one, I mean, I'm going to go see them regardless. You know, they mean, you know, their characters, so I'll go. And hopefully I'm entertained. So,
well, I think that's really the main goal, is that we are being entertained by the films. Like if they're mm-hmm. telling their story, their version of these characters, kind of like how, when Marvel Comics did the Ultimate Universe, it's, not unlike that in that respect. But despite their, deviations from a lot of the source material, they actually do wind up pulling a good bit from the comics for their film stories. So, have you guys? I'm sure you guys have been able to pick out story elements and little things that they've done that are definitely pulled straight out of the comics. So, James, which comic book stories do you think they've pulled mostly from, or which ones have stood out to you the most across these movies?
I guess for me, it's a tricky question, because they pulled a little piece here and there for like everything, just like the Apocalypse story. I mean, I felt like, you know, they used Apocalypse. They used a little bit of his origin here and there, and they used the Four Horsemen. They did that well, but I mean, there's so much different in each movie than what was in the comics that it's hard to really compare it to me. I liked, like I said, about what they did with Apocalypse and the Four Horsemen. I thought that was a really good thing. I liked seeing Angel turn into Archangel, and I totally agree with Kelly. He had almost nothing to do with the movie, but it was awesome to see. And same with Psylocke. She was great in it as one of the Horsemen, even though she didn't get to do a whole lot. I guess that's the one that stands out the most for me. I mean, each one is just a little bit of mix and match to make up a whole story, and I can understand that. You know, they don't want to tell you the same story that's in the book. They've got to update it, you know, do a new thing. So makes sense, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's the challenge of a filmmaker when you're making any of these comics, or when you're adapting anything, whether it be comics, a book, or if you're doing a reboot film, a reboot of an old franchise, or just a remake of an older film, you're always faced with that challenge of, how do I keep this fresh? How do I surprise the audience that knows the material, you know, backwards and forwards? And that's a difficult thing, to keep it fresh and to still manage to be respectful towards the source material that you're pulling from in the first place.
A good example of that, I'd say, would be, you know, The Walking Dead. I watch it on TV all the time. Love it. Comic book is awesome. But you look at, you know, what the TV show has done versus the book, and there are some things you could definitely say the show was better because of this change. And then there are some things you'll say, you know, I would have rather seen the same thing in the comic book that happened here.
Well, sure. The storytelling mediums are always different. You know, what works on the comic book page isn't necessarily going to work on the movie screen or the TV screen. And I could say the same for you know, movies and television trying to translate over to comics. Like, if you try to do that, because there have been several shows that have tried to translate over to comics. There was actually a freebie issue that I read recently, that was based on a show that I absolutely love, was called Into the Badlands. Well, it had a little free comic packaged with an issue of Green Arrow not too long ago. I picked that up. I thought, oh, well, I love Into the Badlands. Maybe this comic will be good. It was garbage. It was poorly drawn, poorly written, and they were trying to do some of the same stuff that the show does, but it didn't translate well at all to the comic book page. And I was like, well, this is kind of an example of things working the other way, where it works really great in the TV medium, but you just can't pull this off on the comic book page. And that's fine. You know, that's okay. Like, it doesn't have to. Some things are not meant for that. But for my money, the stories that I've noticed they've pulled heaviest from are a couple of stories that always seem to be pulled heavily from in X-Men adaptations. That would be God Loves, Man Kills, which was certainly the basis for X2. They pulled a bit from the Legacy Virus and Dark Phoenix Saga for X-Men The Last Stand. And of course, Days of Future Past has a comic story of that same name, and the base premise of it was still very much the same from the comic story to the movie screen. Of course, certain character roles are changed around, and some of the events don't quite play out exactly the same way, but you know, spirit very much the same. And of course, if you've read that classic Claremont and Byrne, the Frank Miller and Chris Claremont, Wolverine miniseries. It's a 4-issue classic miniseries where Wolverine goes back to Japan. You discover a lot about his past in that. Well, that comic was actually the basis for the movie The Wolverine that James Mangold directed, which I contend is a fantastic film. An amazing adaptation of that story, though it, of course, does have some significant differences in it as well. But they were differences that were created to follow the X-Men movie timeline rather than just trying to tell a straight adaptation. But Kelly, you noticed any of your favorite stories used as a backdrop for any X-Men films?
Dark Phoenix Saga. I mean, they kind of they hinted at that at the end of X2, which I thought was going to be really good. They've kind of picked from a lot of different stories and kind of put those elements in their movies. And I can't say that there's any of my true favorite moments. I guess I was thinking about this most of the day, trying to kind of get myself ready for tonight, and thinking back over the films, stories wise, the Dark Phoenix Saga was the one I really wanted it to kind of work, because it is a really good story, but at the same time, it's a very daunting story, because it covered, several issues of the X-Men during the Byrne and Claremont time. And, there's a lot of characters that didn't even, we never saw Mastermind. Mastermind was really the one who set the stage for turning Jean Grey. And of course he was never really introduced. So, they had to go with this whole other premise about keeping this force in her, contained, and Xavier kind of putting a block on it. And, but I guess that's that would have been my favorite if they had done it right,
Yeah. And hopefully that's going to be the case the next time they give it a shot, because that is actually the next X-Men film, the direct sequel to X-Men Apocalypse, as we know, is called X-Men Dark Phoenix. And we've all kind of said what we think of the cast. I think we'd all agree that Hugh Jackman is the MVP of this series.
Yeah, he is.
he and Patrick Stewart are the MVPs. Now, there's some new casts that have been announced, though. Right, we have quite a few, actually, new cast members that have been announced across the board for the new X-Men movies. That would be new cast in X-Men New Mutants. I think some have probably been announced for X-Men Dark Phoenix. And, of course, we know there was a really big one announced for Deadpool 2, because that is still part of this X-Men franchise. We know who's playing Cable now, which came as a bit of a shock to all of us, I think. So which of these new cast members that have been announced, which one are you you kind of most excited to see on screen? James, I'll start with you on that one.
That's a tough call because there's some really, really interesting picks so far in the new movies. I think for me, I've been really wanting to see magic on a movie or TV show. And I saw they cast Anna Taylor-Joy, who was in Split with James McAvoy, coincidentally. And I really want to see that. I want to see if they tie in Colossus with her and what kind of powers they actually give her in the movie, because she's really, really powerful, you know, like on her own and stuff, and she can do a lot. So I'm super psyched for that. And to add in, I guess, a little bit, you know, I saw that they also cast Maisie Williams as Wolfbane, and this is for New Mutants, the New Mutants movie coming out.
Sure.
I think they'll both be pretty cool. Maisie Williams may even get a chance to reunite with her Game of Thrones co-star playing Jean Grey and everything, so that could be really awesome. X-23, if you want to count her, from the Wolverine movie that we just got to see, Old Man Logan. I'm hoping still that there's going to be a little bit of a crossover. Maybe she'll make it into one of the other movies. Holding out for that. my dream is that she and Nightcrawler get to be buddy-buddy, just like Wolverine and Nightcrawler were in the books. And we get to see that kind of like buddy thing going on. That was my dream.
Yeah, Daphne Keene was a revelation in Logan. I wasn't sure how that was going to work out. I mean, she looked badass in the trailers, but then when you see her in action, it's like, oh my God, this chick is stealing this movie from Hugh Jackman. and she's all of what, 12? And she's already pulling off a performance like that. I mean, it's powerful stuff. She was, you know, damn fine actress already. And, you know, coincidentally, Logan is now out on digital and Blu-ray as of the time that you guys will be listening to this. So you should be making your way over to Best Buy or Amazon or whatever your chosen store is to pick up movies and get you a copy of that and witness this performance that we're talking about. It's powerful stuff. Same with Patrick Stewart in that one. I think I really think he's an Oscar contender for that performance, because that was just – That was too good to be ignored. I'm with you, James. I'm with you on both of those picks, because Magic is certainly one that, you know, has that the big Colossus tie. Of course, that's his sister, and we haven't seen much of Colossus in the X films. Like we've saw him in X2 briefly in X-Men: The Last Stand. We've seen, you know, little bits of him here and there until Deadpool, where he had a much more comedic role, and certainly the biggest role he's had in any of these X-Men movies. But I would like to see the more serious side of Colossus, not just him playing straight man to somebody like Deadpool. I would like to see him taken seriously and not just being given cheeseball lines for Ryan Reynolds to make fun of, you know. Let's dig into the deeper side of that character. And speaking of friendships with Nightcrawler, Colossus has a pretty famous one. So he's another one that I would like to see, you know, working together with those characters. But of the ones that I'm most excited about, I gotta admit, Josh Brolin as Cable. That is some brilliant casting, and I was like a lot of fans. I was like, man, how are they going to make all of this work? I mean, Josh Brolin's going to be a busy man. Trying to be both Thanos in the MCU and being Cable in the X-Men universe. Though everyone seems to think that that's all going to work out fine. So if that's the case, cool. I'm down with it. Kelly, who's standing out to you?
I pretty much am in agreement with both of y'all. I think my favorite, I think out of all is Wolfsbane. I love the New Mutants. That was when, you know, one of the one of the newer mutant books back in the day that came out that, you know, they were, you know, that I think was one of the best, you know, as far as kind of jump-starting a new generation of characters. And Wolfsbane, Cannonball, I mean, all of those characters were really, really cool. Magic, I also agree, is very interesting. I like the, you know, I wonder what they're going to do with her. That's the other thing, too. You know, her four-issue miniseries set off a lot of controversy for its, you know, a lot of churches were up in uproar because of the cover and, you know, the fact there's demons and devils and all this stuff in it. But, of course, I didn't care. I mean, I read all four issues. It was a good story. And you know, Josh Brolin, him being the, you know, cast as Cable, sure, you know, I'm willing to give him a shot. Wasn't the choice that I would have liked to see. Personally, I would have liked to see Ron Perlman maybe get the role, because I like Ron Perlman as an actor and he's done a lot of good stuff. But I think Josh will be fine, you know. So those characters, like both of y'all have talked about, I think those are the ones that are on my radar.
Yeah, strong casting going on so far in the upcoming X films, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what we're going to get out of it. But one big cast member is going to be missing from these movies going forward. So the big question now becomes, do these movies need Wolverine to be successful? Why or why not? What do you think, James?
It's a tough question, because nobody wants to say, no, we don't need Wolverine around, or Hugh Jackman for that matter, as he's, I mean, the man is Wolverine. There's like no way around that. I don't know that you could ever cast anybody else and try to pass him off as Wolverine.
Certainly,
you know,
not
anymore.
No way.
My gut is that no, they don't have to have him. I mean, as long as they've got a solid story, you know, the characters are good. There's only one Wolverine, but there's always an opportunity to make someone that's still in that same wheelhouse. Because Wolverine's thing is always like, I'm a bad guy, but a heart of gold and everything. And, you know, that's something they could do with a lot of characters. I'd like to see it more. Again, I'm still hoping that we get to see new Wolverine, Laura Kinney, X-23, whatever anybody wants to call her. I hope she still has a chance to come to the other movies and play that part. She did such a good job in Logan that there's no way she should be left out. There's no way that movie should be the end for her. So I'm going to hold out, and I don't believe we'll have to have him around. I think we'll have somebody else that'll step up and fill the slot.
And that is an important point. Like, she... I hope that X-23 is seen again, though I would like to see another movie made in that Logan timeline and a follow-up to that ending with her and all those other mutant kids running off into the woods and you know, going to maybe find other mutants. Maybe there are other survivors out there. Like, I would like to think that maybe the events of the events we don't see in Logan that we're told about later that suggest, you know, all the X-Men were killed. I'd like to think that maybe there's maybe a member of the X-Men who just wasn't in the mansion whenever it went off. You know, fingers crossed for Nightcrawler. That would be cool. Like, old man Nightcrawler helping the kids out in the woods survive with a new Wolverine. But I'm with you. I don't think that they necessarily need that character specifically in order to work. So, Kelly, what are your thoughts on that idea?
I don't think they need Wolverine. But like was said a minute ago, I don't want to, I want to see Wolverine again in a film, but I think X-23, I think she should be the heir apparent, and I think they should go with that, because that's how it is in the books now. And, they've been going with that for quite some time. You know, I don't want to see all the work that that was done in, you know, Logan, just to kind of be pushed to the side for whatever comic agenda we want to put a new Wolverine out. So we need to, I think they really just need to stick with what they have now with X-23. But the film, you know, X-Men couldn't have been done without Wolverine. I mean, that's really, like you said, Wolverine's the MVP. He's kind of the foundation for these films, along with Patrick Stewart, of course. But I mean, Wolverine had to be in the film. I mean, that was, you know, and of course he was, you know, he nailed the character and did a fantastic job all the way through his portfolio of X films. But I mean, they could do an X film without Wolverine. You know, I think it's definitely possible. Now it's possible because, you know, we've seen him introduced, we've seen his lifespan, and we've seen the end of that version of Wolverine. So,
and they basically already have done a couple of X-Men movies without him. They did, X-Men First Class has a 2-second Wolverine cameo, but the rest of the movie is James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender. It's Professor X and Magneto. And speaking of those, Fassbender has just been a revelation as Magneto. I've absolutely loved him. And while maybe that story has been told enough by now, the whole Professor X and Magneto story, like maybe it is time to move on from that, as some X-Men movie producers have suggested would be happening. And we also kind of got, like, I would even count X-Men Apocalypse as an X-Men movie that didn't really have Wolverine. He has the one, you know, Berserker cameo at Alkali Lake, but he doesn't really have much of a part in the movie. You know, he's in that one sequence and then it's over, but the whole movie really revolves around, Scott, Jean, and again, the Professor X and Magneto relationship. Professor X, Magneto, and Mystique. Like, that's the holy trinity of these current X-Men films. So I do think that we can do a solid X-Men movie, probably even do a great X-Men movie that doesn't include the Wolverine character. Though especially after Logan, it's going to be hard to view this universe without Hugh Jackman in it. Though I'm sure that the meta Hugh Jackman jokes will continue in Deadpool 2, or at least I really hope they do, because that was some of the funniest stuff in that film. Now, I mean, come on, it was Ryan Reynolds with a cutout picture of Hugh Jackman's face stapled to his face. That was just perfect. That was gold to me. But speaking of that, I want to get you guys' thoughts on Deadpool 2, X-Men Dark Phoenix, and, of course, New Mutants. Which one are you most excited for and why? James, which one is first on your to-see list?
New Mutants is definitely going to be my first, just because it's bringing in so many new people that we haven't really got to see before, you know, at all.
Sure.
Dark Phoenix, we kind of know, you know, basically what it's going to be about. We know the base cast that's going to be there, and I think they've got solid people in place. I'm really hoping, like Kelly said, that we get a lot better version of this than the old Dark Phoenix. I'm hoping they're going into this like, hey, we need to not do the same thing before. Deadpool 2, I know it's going to be hilarious again. Same guys as before. We've got the new Cable and Domino. Zazzy Beetz coming as his Domino. And that's going to roll into the X-Force movie. It's going to be funny like Deadpool was, but I'm willing to bet there's going to be a little bit of drama and heartbreak at some point. So I think they'll go in a little different direction. But New Mutants is my standout for sure. I'm really looking forward to seeing Cannonball and Sunspot together. I don't think they've been cast, but they are two of my favorite guys to read together in the comic books because they are nerds. Man, they are nerds together. They have some of the funniest things they get together and do, especially like in the recent years. They even had some Back to the Future lines that they were using. They had to bring in some of the famous heroes' kids for like a mission. And they use, "Marty, it's not you, it's your kids. We got to fix your kids." And then they make the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., Maria Hill, even say it for them to get them to help her with something. They're like, "You got to use the line. You've got to use the line." So I'm super looking forward to them, along with, you know, what we've already talked about, Wolfsbane and Magic. I think it's going to be awesome.
I'm going to second that New Mutants is certainly my most anticipated of these, simply because I feel like it's going to be a real chance for this franchise to have new life breathed into it. And it's a totally new direction that they can do without playing with too many sacred cows, because a lot of these characters in the New Mutants line are characters who do have fan bases, but maybe not as rabid a fan base as, say, like, you know, Wolverine, Cyclops, the original five X-Men. Feels like there's a lot more room to play with storytelling and with characterization. So I'm really curious as to how that's going to wind up. And of course, I'm excited for all of these movies. I am echoing both of you guys' sentiments about, let's get that Dark Phoenix story done better this time. I mean, Last Stand sets a really low bar, so it should be a lot easier to meet. And I got a lot more faith in the team that's handling it now than I did of the team that handled Last Stand. And at least Brett Ratner is nowhere to be found, so there's that. And Deadpool 2, you know, I'll go ahead and admit this, guys. I am not a Deadpool fan when it comes to the character in the comics, because there's just, I feel like he's overexposed, and a lot of the jokes that are cracked in the comics just kind of fall flat for me most of the time. But every once in a while, yes, he does make me laugh. Now, that said, when I saw the movie, I was like, this is the kind of Deadpool that I want to see. This makes me laugh. This is done so incredibly well, on top of having some really great action scenes. And it gave me a story. It gave me a reason to care about the character, which was something that I felt like the comics had not really done much for me in that area. Like, it was, the comedy was there, but the reason for me to give much of a shit was not. And I felt like Ryan Reynolds and Tim Miller, the guys that made the movie, I felt like they gave me a real reason to care about this character and what happens in his life. So yeah, that film really worked gangbusters for me. Made me laugh, made me care, and it gave me some really kick-ass action sequences. So good on everybody involved there. I hope that the sequel can be equally good. As sequels go, you know, it's always hard to capture that lightning in a bottle twice, like to capture that same magic. So as high as my expectations may be for Deadpool 2, I'm going to try and keep them reasonable, keep them to a lowered level, so that I don't go in with expectations that are just impossible to meet and wind up in any way disappointed. Because that's how I went into the first movie. I actually went in with very low expectations, because I thought, you know, it's great that that Ryan Reynolds got to make this movie the way he wanted to, which was certainly a change from his last superhero outing, his only other superhero outing. Or, well, I guess not technically, because he did do the abomination that was Blade Trinity. And, you know, the unfortunate Green Lantern. So I wasn't sure how it would work out, but I was, like I said, I was so pleasantly surprised that Deadpool was so much fun and just such a well-done film. And hoping for the same to be true of Deadpool 2. But like I said, I'm going to keep expectations measured. So Kelly, which one's the high? I think I know which one's highest on yours, but your thoughts on these three films as they're coming?
I'm pretty much in the same ballpark with the New Mutants, mainly because, again, this goes to my my love of C-list characters, or, you know, not that, you know, all of the New Mutants are C-list, but I mean, they're characters that you, you know, it's like, I never would have thought that I would have seen the original, you know, and spoilers to anyone listening, I'm going to drop Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 stuff here, but the original Guardians, seeing Starhawk and Martin X and Charlie 27, that was like a huge, that was just a big moment for me. And seeing Cannonball and seeing Sunspot and seeing Wolvesbane, you know, seeing these characters that, you know, when their first issue came out or their graphic novel came out where they first were introduced, I mean, these were brand new characters. I mean, they were fresh off the page. We didn't, you know, every issue was like we got a little bit more into their, you know, to their backstories. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing those characters on the big screen and going in really with no expectations. Like I do a lot of films, and hoping that, you know, somehow somewhere along the line, I will come out, you know, really entertained, for however long the movie is. But, and the Dark Phoenix saga, I mean, I hope that they do a good job with it. I hope, you know, that they're able to kind of look at the mistakes of the previous film and say, hey, you know, we're not going to do that. We're going to do a few things. I know that they're not going to do it verbatim. I mean, I've, you know, have no, you know, qualms about that and really wouldn't want to see it done that way because, you know, then you're not giving us anything new. You're just kind of retelling a story and we all know it, but I hope that they bring in some aspects from more aspects from the story that Claremont and Byrne told. I mean, I would love to see Mastermind show up somewhere. I mean, I have always liked him as a character. He's, you know, a real scumbag, but I mean, he was an interesting character and, you know, he was definitely a deep part of that story and the Hellfire Club. You know, also like with the New Mutants, I hope we see the Hellions. I mean, that was kind of the White Queen kind of counter team that she was teaching. So, I mean, there are a lot of things they can do with this franchise. And let's just hope that they pull more for them, the comics. And that's, I mean, if they would take that kind of, you know, the way Marvel films are done and just kind of, you know, respect the source material and pull from it, I think they can do good.
Well, that's exactly what we all, you know, hope for. And I think that there's a lot to be excited about, especially with some of this casting that's been announced, just some of the stuff that we're hearing, you know, that Fox is trying to expand the X-Men franchise into new territory. And to places that a lot of us thought that it would never go, especially when it looked like the franchise may have actually died, you know, back after X-Men Origins Wolverine. But it's had new life breathed into it, and there seems to be a real commitment to making these films and to even expanding the universe beyond film and into television. Because we've had one successful TV show in the X-Men universe so far, with another one coming up. And after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about those and about the possibilities of them interacting with one another, you know, from small screen to big screen and vice versa. So stay with us on the other side of the break. We'll be talking about everything from these X-Men films to Gifted and, of course, the FX series Legion. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows plus others available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keith's blog, of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Subscribe on iTunes or on Android with your favorite podcast app. Established in 2013, the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network is committed to providing unique takes on the rich and diverse medium of professional wrestling, focusing on its history and global impact, but also exploring the vibrant contemporary scene. The roll call includes Space City, an NWA On Demand podcast, This Week in Wrestling, Stacey and Elliott's Bogus Journey, the Super Apuestas podcast, The Military Industrial Suplex, Strong Style History, Puro Puri, and Psychology is Dead. Also, from the archives, the full catalog of great shows that provided a fresh look at classic wrestling, including Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, Letters from Kayfabe, Wrestling Culture, Pro Wrestling Super Show, Goodwill Wrestling, and many, many others. Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Only the best.
Happy Jack wasn't old, but he was glad. He lived in the sand at the island man. The kids would all sing, he would take the wrong key. So they rode on his head in the furry arm.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation Pop. We're here with our good buddy James Eccles, back with us to talk even more X-Men film franchises, because we are speculating on what we think is coming up. But more so than just talking about the films, we have to talk about the television side of things, because the X-Men franchise has expanded out. Just this past season, we had the debut of Legion on FX. Now, full disclosure, I have not finished watching it yet. I've seen the first two episodes of the show, thought it was done pretty well. It was certainly way headier than I expected it to be. But it pulled me in. I had no room for it in my weekly shows with all the just outstanding programming going on over on the CW. As you guys know, I'm a big fan of the DC universe over there. But now that all of that has concluded this week, I am going to be binging me some Legion. So, with that said, one thing that we've not seen out of Marvel or DC is crossover with their TV shows and their movies, at least not a lot of it anyway. Like, we've seen lip service paid to it and maybe some minor character appearances, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had an appearance from Sam Jackson in its first season. Also, Jamie Alexander, who plays Lady Sif in the Thor films, appeared once or twice on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But for the most part, that show has been left to its own devices, and there certainly is no crossover between DC television and its film universes, as they are two absolutely separate things. But it seems like Fox has taken a different approach, if maybe a little bit of an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. approach, because their Legion show, from my understanding, absolutely does acknowledge Professor Xavier, the X-Men, and very much it seems very likely the film versions of these characters. And from what we've seen of Gifted so far, it looks like it may be about to do the same. So the question is, should the movies and the new X-Men TV shows cross over or remain essentially related like the MCU films and TV shows are? Kelly, I want to start with you on this one. What are your thoughts on the X-Men TV and movie universes working together? Should they mostly just say, let's go do your own things and not really worry about each other? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I'd like to see a little more crossover, but I know that scheduling wise, I guess it is kind of difficult to have your movie schedule kind of sync up with what's going on in the TV series or vice versa. I mean, yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. did a pretty good job those first few seasons kind of playing in line with what was going on with the films, and seeing it done that way, I mean, makes it kind of brings a bigger picture to just a regular TV series. But I don't think that it's absolutely necessary. I don't think that, you know, with the new X franchises they're putting out there, like, I'm really looking forward to The Gifted. I'm excited for that, mainly because, again, we're going to see John Proudstar. We're going to see Polaris, Blink, characters, again, that I would never, ever think that I'd see on the small screen. And I'm also a big fan of Amy Acker, who's playing Kate Strucker. And she used to play Winifred on Angel. And Joss Whedon's Angel show, and she's just amazing. I just really like her as an actress. She does just whatever she does, she's good. But as far as, you know, the crossovers and, you know, going back to that, I don't, with the X films and doing, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's they're having a hard enough time kind of kind of putting the X films back out and setting them up right. And I think it'd be kind of daunting to kind of try to connect them. I'm not saying they should never do it. I think if, you know, they can do it in a smart way and, sure. But, do they have to? I don't really think they have to. I think they can, you know, their shows can stand alone on their own merit.
That's fair enough. There's potential in it, sure, but I kind of feel like, you know, like you said, the scheduling ideas can be difficult, but there's also, each show or each movie wants to tell its own story, and I'm sure that the other side doesn't want to feel like they're being dictated to as to what story they're allowed to tell because of what's happening over on the film side of things. So there is that to consider as well. Now, yeah. James, what are your thoughts on the idea of X-Men TV shows to movies? Should that crossover happen? What are your thoughts?
I guess I'm pretty much in the same boat as you guys. I mean, I wouldn't complain to see it. I'd like to see it if it's done right. But having faith in Fox to do it right is a tough thing to have. scheduling, trying to get any of the major actors to actually be on there. I don't know if they can even really swing it with the TV show budget, you know? So there's a lot of ins and outs, I guess is the best way to put it. And I just don't think it's going to work for them to try to make that happen. I'd love for it to, but minus maybe one cameo a season, I think that would be the max that we could ever hope to expect.
That's a, you know, fair point. Like if we're also dealing with different timelines too, because there was someone who suggested that, I mean, we don't know this for sure, but maybe The Gifted takes place in the Logan timeline and takes place like around the same time as that or after that film, because there was something said in one of the trailers for it that it said the X-Men were gone, that that nobody knows what happened to them, and that that would seem to suggest that that those characters may be dead and gone. Maybe this is the far flung future of well, not far flung, but it's the world that Logan took place in. And if that's the case, maybe that's where we see Daphne Keene next. Maybe she shows up as X-23 in that show. I think that would be really cool. But lots of things to possibly be excited about there. I know that I was impressed with how the powers were portrayed on Legion, of what I've seen of it. I thought that the mutant abilities were done very well, and in some pretty trippy and interesting ways. So that said, what do you guys hope to see out of The Gifted as far as like mutant abilities being portrayed, and are there any comic stories maybe that you're hoping that they'll pull from and try to adapt to the screen? Kelly, what are your thoughts on The Gifted?
Like I said just a little while ago, I really am looking forward to the show. The characters that are that they've got hooked up with the show. Like I said, you've got Thunderbird, Polaris, Blink, just to name a few of them that they're bringing, and I'm just really excited to see what they're going to do. I'm hoping that maybe Marvel can branch out and have another show besides, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, the Netflix series, which, those are all well and good, but I'd really kind of miss seeing mutants in general. And I'm really sick of Inhumans to an extent because, they're similar in a way, but they're not. It's just Marvel's way of saying, hey, we need to put some powers out here and we still have the rights to the Inhumans. So we're just going to do that. We'll see.
That could be a whole other podcast in itself. Kelly's ranting against the Inhumans. I feel like there hasn't been enough whiskey consumed tonight.
No. That if we had done this Saturday night, it would have been rough.
And Kelly is subject to the ginger flush, as we call it, whenever he gets good and drinking. He basically just turns into like this red mass of like potential anger. All you got to do is mention the Inhumans and it sets him off. And it is truly something to see, folks. Maybe one day, we will get that rant. We've gotten other Kelly rants, but I don't think we've seen him go full rage on Inhumans yet. One day it'll happen, but
we'll wait and see how the royal family happens and the Inhumans, the show with the bad hair and,
it's not looking good so far, but we'll wait to see.
Hope they didn't sink a lot of money into that.
We'll see. I'm planning to go see the movie when it comes out. The IMAX, or I guess first two episodes in theaters is what they're calling it. So that's gonna pass for the Inhumans movie. And that's fine. I'll go check that out and I'll see how it plays out. Maybe it'll be good. Hoping, but again, keeping expectations at a reasonable level. Now, as far as my own hopes for The Gifted, I really want them to just mostly just do their own thing. Like, I like the idea of them having Polaris as such a prominent character in the show. Hoping that it's an opportunity to showcase some more C&D lister mutants. And maybe the occasional A-lister as well. You know, if you're going to make an X-Men TV show, I mean, Legion does this. They have at least, you know, one or two A-list moments in there. It would be nice to have something similar on The Gifted, you know. Give me a Kitty Pryde appearance. That would be good. I'd be very excited about that. And like I said before, have Daphne Keene show up as X-23. There you go. That would be all I need as far as the A-list. As far as everything else, just make sure the one thing I think it has to do is it has to have relatable and likable lead characters. That has to be priority number one for making The Gifted a show that people not only want to watch, but a show that is going to last. Because that's always the fear and the problems that a lot of these shows face whenever they're coming out, when they were trying to adapt a comic property anywhere except for the CW, it seems. Make those lead characters likable, make it work on the small screen, and don't overshoot your budget. Like, understand that you're a television show and that your budget is only going to be so much. So make it a character drama first and sprinkle in the special and visual effects when there's been some significant build up to it. But if your show is about that, I don't know that it'll last, because the budget will balloon very quickly, and in the world of television, that's a death sentence. So, James, what stories or characters would you like to see in The Gifted?
Kind of like you said, I mean, I want them to stand on their own. I don't know of any specific stories I could see them really bringing. I mean, it seems like we're going to have, you know, the mutant family on the run and everything. That kind of lends itself to a little bit of a lot of stories. I'm psyched to see Polaris. She's one of my favorites too, you know. And like we were talking about, having, you know, ties to the shows, being the daughter of a super mutant, there may be some references there I'd like to see. I'd love to see them have some throwbacks to that. But I just hope that, like you said, we get good character development and it can stand on its own, because they've been struggling with a lot of these shows lately, it seems like, and I want them to succeed, and I'd like to see more stuff come to the TV.
As would I. I would love to see an expansion of that world, or an expansion of that universe in television, because I feel like of all the comic properties out there, and there are many of them that also lend themselves to this storytelling format, but it really feels like X-Men is just, it's tailor-made for episodic storytelling. And an X-Men TV show, just, that seems just perfect in my mind, if the budget is there to support it. Because while you do need it to be a character drama first and foremost, you also do have to illustrate mutant powers. There's no way around it. If you're going to do that show, you have to be willing to go there, and you have to have the budget to support it so that it doesn't look overly cheesy. Hopefully they don't do something like gigantic CGI characters that just take you right out of the show, a la Supergirl, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow. Because all three of those shows are guilty of doing that. And while a recent episode of The Flash did certainly poke fun at itself over the use of, you know, gigantic creature CGI, because clearly they couldn't make King Shark, you know, look real. that was a good joke, though. I give them credit for the self-awareness, but you really need to, as far as the X-Men franchise, they've got to keep it more grounded. So one thing that I know some people are probably clamoring for it, but I don't think it's going to be a good idea to try and put Sentinels in this show. Like, not the giant building size Sentinels that we know from the TV show, like from the 90s TV show or from the comics or anything like that. No, that will not work. It will not look good, and it will take you right out of the show. Now, if they were to do something like Nimrod, like a human level, a human-sized Sentinel, you know, a highly advanced futuristic model version, maybe you could make that work. Like, maybe even introduce Nimrod. That might be an interesting, wrinkle to add into this. A mutant-hunting Sentinel who's very, you know, he's the size of a human. You could actually have him disguised as a human and basically turn the show into Terminator with this thing, like, relentlessly hunting mutants. I think that would be the only way to really make Sentinels work for a show like this. Now, on the other side of things, we've had a full season of Legion, as we've mentioned a few times in this show already. Now, as I said, I've only seen the first two episodes of it, thought it was really well done. Certainly got a unique approach to its storytelling and to its visual style, which I find very entertaining. But maybe you, I don't know, have you, if you guys have seen more of it than I have, I'd like to get your thoughts on it. Kelly, how much of Legion have you watched?
I hate to say I have seen nothing of it yet. It's on my to watch list. I've heard a lot of great things about it. And, you know, my plans are to watch it. I'm probably going to watch it here in the next couple of weeks, since a lot of my main shows are going on, you know, hiatus for a while. I've picked up a couple of shows that I've written down that I'm going to watch during the off season. So,
yeah, Legion is it's at the top of my priority list too. Now that the CW show, like the main season shows, are over. So, James, what are your thoughts on Legion? How much of it have you seen, and what'd you like or not like about it?
I actually just finished it this weekend. Me and my wife were trying to keep up with it while it was on, but I think we got up to about halfway in and just fell behind. Again, with just so many other shows on, it's tough to keep up with all of them.
It really is.
Yeah, there's a lot of great ones. Like I said, the CW shows, you can't miss those. But we caught up and watched the last few episodes this weekend and everything, and I mean, I think it was a great show. I enjoyed it for sure. It is a very deep psychological movie. You have to watch like everything to try to even try to figure out what's going on. But you're constantly hit with all that stuff you saw is not real, like every episode. So there's so many twists in it. It was really hard to keep up with, but I don't really mean that in a bad way. It's just the type of show it was. With the way his powers are and the mental issues affecting him and not mental issues affecting him, there were just so much going on. You really had to pay attention to keep up with it. But it was a solid show. I'm looking forward to it coming back. I hope it springboards some other projects. I did not catch, I don't know if it's a big spoiler or matters at all, but I did not catch any major links to the other X-Men movies in it. They discussed his possible origins, but I didn't catch a name actually dropped or anybody actually showing up for it, which, you know, fine. But I'd like to see more, you know, come from that.
Yeah, from what I understand, it was strongly hinted that that Professor Xavier is the lead character's father, as is the case in the comics. And of course I haven't seen the scene in question, but I have been told about it and I was like, that sounds really great. I can't wait to actually see it myself. But one thing that Legion and the Gifted could potentially do, and maybe even the New Mutants movie could spin off other shows or, other films even. So what other properties would do you guys think would make for first good, maybe a good TV show, be it, you know, another team or a solo character? Like, who do you think could carry their own TV show and it actually work? Or is there a an X-Men related film that you'd like to see spin out of any of this? Kelly, what are your thoughts on that?
There's a lot. You know, they you know, the New Mutants movie, I think that would be I think in a lot of ways, I think what I would like to see, and I know that I would never see, but I think what I would like to see is a true first class set in the '60s, you know, and have those characters all meet and start their, you know, training and their friendship. I would love to see that. I know I never will, but that to me, I think, you know, that's, I don't know. I've always really liked, that's why I think I do like X-Men Blue so much, because, well, that's what it is. It's them thrown into our future. But it is essentially those five young mutants who started it all with Professor Xavier. And, you know, I think that I would love to see that, but, you know, that's why I say New Mutants is a close kind of, you know, it's probably the closest that I'll probably ever see. I know at one point in time in the early 90s, they tried a Generation X pilot, which, is horrible. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a Generation X, you know, if they could do it properly. But you know, like I said, with them doing the New Mutants movie, I don't think, you know, because I've always liked Jubilee, even though she's, you know, her powers are, you know, kind of weird. But that whole cast of characters were really odd and interesting. So that's kind of my point. That's what I'd like to see.
Well, I think a 1960s set TV show would be interesting, seeing other mutants spinning out of that, because there were tons of mutants around.
Oh, yeah.
In the '60s. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be those main five. Like you could create a whole new set of characters, or explore some of the deep cut, like D and E list characters, if you wanted to, if the interest level is there, you know, depending on how the other shows do. And as far as like solo characters, that one's tougher to me, because the ones that I think that have the highest level of interest, you know, they're the A list, the A and B list characters, and when it comes to those characters, you know they're going to be in films. And I mean, we've already had Wolverine solo films, we've got Deadpool solo movies. And those are really the primary ones, I think. I do think that it's entirely possible, and they're probably leading to this, with Deadpool 2 and like bringing in Cable and Domino. I mean, it seems pretty obvious that X-Force is going to come out of this.
Yeah.
Like we know that those characters are in place, but they haven't just straight up called it that. I mean, there was talk there for a while that it wasn't going to be called Deadpool 2, that it was actually going to be an X-Force movie, and it kind of seems like this is a backdoor way of doing that, and I'm sure that there will be plenty of backdoor jokes made in the movie, because, well, Ryan Reynolds can't help himself, nor should he. If those jokes are missing from the film, I feel like we'll all walk out of the theater feeling like we didn't get our full money's worth. So, James, what TV show spinoffs or like what characters or X-Men properties that they haven't done yet that you think could work as either a TV show or a film?
It was a tough question, and I had to really sit down and think about that one today because there's been so many already done. I was like, well, what is left? what do we have that hasn't been done yet? First off, I know that there's a Punisher show coming up on Netflix. Super psyched about that. Glad that's happening. And Hulu is supposed to be doing The Runaways, and that was going to be my top thing, but it's already in the works. So,
and that's another one to be looking forward to. Very excited to see Runaways getting its own TV show over at Hulu. Glad that it can go there. That they can go for a more mature audience, I guess, would be the aim for that TV show. And correct me if I'm wrong, they're not really mutants, though, are they?
I got to think back about each one. I don't think they are. I mean, I know you've got a magic user, you've got a tech guy, you've got a really smart, you got a really smart girl that can do stuff. I'm trying to remember the youngest girl. She may be classed as a mutant. I know she's got super strength and all that. So I can't remember if they call her a mutant or something else. Well, but,
those would be, those are good properties to look forward to. And I'm personally hoping that we do get some kind of, solo spinoff. I mean, we got a Legion TV show, for God's sake. Could we possibly see something like an Iceman TV show? I mean, of course not. That would be so effects heavy that it would never be pulled off properly. But
I was actually thinking about two things that haven't been announced that I'd like to see maybe at some point. An X-Factor show.
That's a good
one. Be really good because they haven't had a chance. And, I mean, you've got some pretty good guys that were in there too. Polaris has been in and out, for example. And even, Gifted could lead into that. That might be a good, branch off at some point. And in there, you've got Multiple Man, Havoc, Richter, Strong Guy, ton of guys like that. And one that hasn't been in a whole lot of spotlight, but just for some reason it came to mind and it might work for it is Alpha. Alpha is a teenage kid, and he basically has like every superpower there is, but he can only use one at a time. So he can fly, but then he's not invulnerable, or he can have super strength, but then he, can get killed. but I can figure he would be a good one for like a high school drama X-Men style thing to go on. So, there's some options out there.
Absolutely. That sounds like, I actually like that as a pitch. We need to call up Fox and be like, hey, we got this great idea. Another fun one, like if they wanted to do a British style show spinning out of this, we could have Excalibur.
Mm.
That would be some deep cut. And much like the comic, nobody would care. but I digress. That kind of brings us to the end of our look at the X-Men film universe so far. What we're hoping to see, what we have seen, what we think about it so far, and where we think it's going. I personally do hope that that we get some more really good X-Men movies and TV shows out of this, because while it has been an inconsistent franchise, when it hits, it really hits. And I think we all want more of that. We all want it to keep entertaining us and to keep being the fun franchise that has resurrected itself in a big bad way. So with that, we're gonna leave it there for the X-Men franchise, and want to say a big thanks to James for joining us.
Be here.
It was definitely good to have you. And we're going to have you back on the show in future installments. Certainly anytime we're talking Marvel, it's good to have you on. And, of course, we're going to be seeing you on our Comics to Film panel at Fanaticon again this year. So if you guys are going to be in the Ozark area, that would be in November. I'm trying to remember the exact date of that now. I believe that will be I believe it's the weekend of November 18th and 19th. Yeah, because it's the weekend before Thanksgiving. So yeah, if you're in the Ozark area, come on out. It's going to be a good time. Lots of comic book geekery, just geekery in general, as well as tons of cosplay panels, special guests. You never know what may be showing up at Fanaticon. You may even see a certain somebody on one of these podcasts dressed in full Ghostbusters gear. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's a possibility. Now, with that all said, James, tell the folks at home where they can find you on social media if they want to hear your thoughts on other comic book properties.
Well, I'm on Facebook just under my individual name, of course. That's probably the best way to get up with me, really. I don't use Twitter. And my Instagram is usually just pictures of my dogs.
Well,
so yeah, hit Facebook.
Well, we love pictures of your dogs. Your lovely dachshund. Yes, follow you, and of course you can always join the Place to Be Nation Comics group on Facebook. James, I believe you are a member there, and
mm-hmm.
And of course you will be mentioned, you know, as being a big participant of this episode. So people, listen, give us your feedback. Tell us what you think of the X-Men franchise up to now. What do you want to see out of it? What's been your favorite part? What are your favorite X-Men movies? Tell us all about it. We'd love to hear it. We love all that feedback. Of course, you can find me and Kelly on Twitter. You can find me at Russell_Sellers, and you can find Kelly at HKP2814. Give us a follow. Tell us what you think about any and all of this. Now, we've come to the end of the show, and we want to tell you about what's coming up next. And we are finally, Kelly, we've been waiting all this time to finally announce this. It has taken forever. To finally say this to folks. I can't believe that. And James, you're here for a very special moment because we're finally going to announce this to the masses. This is a big happening because on our next episode coming out next week, actually, that's right. We're doing back-to-back weeks. We never do this, but it's a special occasion because the Wonder Woman movie is coming out next week. And in honor of that, we are doing our Guide to Wonder Woman episode. Just like we've done for Superman, for Wolverine, we've done it for Batman. We are doing a big guide to Wonder Woman. That will be out. We're aiming for next Thursday for that one to drop. And we are going to be joined by a very special guest. A guy who is coming off of an all-timer run on Wonder Woman. We are going to be joined by DC Comics artist Liam Sharp. And that, folks, will be coming to you next week. We cannot wait for you to hear it. Liam Sharp is a really great guy, great artist, somebody that that Kelly and I very much enjoy talking to. So you guys be on the lookout for that one next week. And, of course, June is Wonder Woman month. So we're going to have two episodes completely dedicated to everyone's favorite Amazonian demigoddess warrior. We are going to also be joined by Place to Be Nation Pop's own Jennifer Smith on our second June episode to take a look back in another episode of The Mist and the Maligned as we look back at the 2009 animated Wonder Woman movie that starred the voices of Kerry Russell and Alfred Molina. So you guys be on the lookout for that one as well. It's going to be a big time here at Place to Be Nation Pop for the next month in June. Make sure you check out the Hard Traveling Fanboys as they're doing a whole bunch of cool stuff with Wonder Woman all month long. Hopefully we'll be getting some more stuff out of Todd Weber pretty soon. It's been a minute since we've had an episode of Conversation Comics, and especially since we just had a whole other episode right now dedicated to X-Men, it'd be nice to hear some more of that Byrne Claremont commentary goodness, and mostly because me and Kelly still need our Tim Capel fix. We had him on the last episode of this show, and it was just a blast. So come on, Todd and Tim. Give us what we want. Just give it to us. We want it. We're over here waiting. Everybody's waiting on that one. But with that said, make sure you subscribe to all the great podcasts right here on Place to Be Nation Pop, as well as the Place to Be Nation main feed. And with that, we will see you guys on the next episode. Don't forget, tune in next week as me and Kelly sit down with Liam Sharp to talk all things Wonder Woman. And we will see you then.
What you heard. It's what you hearing. It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. X gon' give it to ya. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to ya. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real. With the non-stop pop out from stainless steel. Go hard getting busy with it. But I got such a good heart that I make a motherfucker wonder if you did it. Damn right, can I do it again? Cause yeah, I am light, so I got to win. Break bread with the enemy. No matter how many cats I break bread with, I break who you send to me. You motherfuckers never wanna know what your life saved. Bitch, and that's on a light day. I'm getting down, down. Like a nigga said, freeze. I won't be the one ending up on his knees, bitch, please. If the only thing you can't steal was came out to play, stay out my way, motherfucker. We gonna rock, then we gonna fall. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. What? X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock, then we gonna fall. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. He never gave nothing to me. But every time I turn around, cats got their hands out, wanting something from it. I ain't got it, so you can't get it. Let's leave it at that, cause I ain't with it. Hit it with full strength. I'm a jail nigga, so I face the world like a girl in the bullpen. You against me, me against you. Whatever, whenever, nigga, fuck you gon' do. I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing. Only nigga that you know who can chill. Come back and get the streets open. I've been doing this for 19 years. Niggas wanna fight me, fight these kids. I put in work and it's all for the kids. But these cats done forgot what work is. They don't know who we be looking. But they don't know who they see, nigga. First we gonna rock, then we gonna fall. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock, then we gonna fall. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. Come on. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. Hey yo, where my niggas at? I know I got them down in the greens. Give them love and they give it back. Drunk too much for too long. Don't give up, you're too strong. Love to the wild, wild hunters. Shout out to niggas that done it. And it ain't even about the dough. It's about getting down for what you stand for, yo. For real. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. Come on. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. Come on. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Then we let it pop.